The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? That's right. Once again, the king is back, Conor McGregor. And also, I am back. You're one of your tough hang co-hosts, Alexander Kaylee, back from a little vacation in Japan. Super thrilled to be here and was very pleased with the coverage that continued on the number one reality TV show as I was on my vacation by the great, well, let's bring him out here, my co-host, Conor Burks, the great
Let's
GC.
Let's go, baby.
What's going on? Still rocking the blue. Proudly rocking
Of course, we're proudly walking the blue because we didn't lose.
No.
We didn't have a fight. Therefore, we didn't lose.
Yeah, 2 weeks undefeated for Team Blue for the prospects. And of course, E.K.C. Lydon was also here, producer extraordinaire. And thank you again to New York Rick and Mike Heck for filling in. Mike Heck, especially because he also had to do the recaps, which are always a thrilling thing to see on MMA Fighting. .com, great website. But I guess I couldn't have come back at a better time. I'm a little sad. I'm a little sad that I missed episode 8, Rico DeShulo, doing the damn thing for Team McGregor, getting Team Blue on the board, making it so that GC can walk around in that blue jersey proudly. You must have been wearing it all week.
Listen, man, it was a fantastic moment. I was wearing it when I was going to the pool, the beach, the gym, to work. I mean, everywhere you saw me, I was rocking the blue. And it's funny, I feel like we went from the best episode of the season in episode 8, setting up to a big, playoffs, to the worst episode of the season. I don't know how y'all felt, but definitively, I believe this was the worst episode of the season.
This was tough. And we had sort of prepared ourselves at the beginning of the season. I think if people go back to episode 1, when we were talking about how this was your first real comprehensive Ultimate Fighter experience, we were like, oh, I wonder how GC is going to react when we get to like the semifinal episodes where it's really just all about the fights. There's probably not a lot of drama outside of, and this is still to come, the coach's challenge, which I don't think comes to like episode 11 or 12, or maybe last episode, maybe episode 11. But yes, this is episode 9 of The Ultimate Fighter season 31 called It's Personal, Not Just Business, which is maybe the worst title yet, I think. We've been starting off with the fight, usually breaking down the fight every episode, but I don't think we need to do that this time. This time I kind of want to go just from the start of the episode and kind of break it down. So first of all, the title. Now this week it was the first lightweight semifinal, and as people know, except for Rico DeShulo, it was all Team Chandler. Four lightweights. All four lightweights advanced three out of four bantamweights. This time it was Austin Hubbard and Roosevelt Roberts facing off. This felt like just business to me. Am I crazy? Someone justify this title for me.
Are we talking about the episode? How the episode went, or the title right now?
The title of the episode.
I think it was personal in the sense that none of the guys wanted to leave Team Chandler. So there was that. And then it was also personal because it kind of felt like, friends fighting friends. Like, it kind of felt like that's what we got in the fight. It was very reminiscent of the PFL fight we just recently saw.
Yes. No, I understand. But like, normally when I see it's personal, not just business, that makes me think. See, it kind of fooled me. If this is a tagline for a movie, like a sequel, it was like Creed 2. This time it's personal, not just business or something. I'd be like, oh wow, like the stakes are up. Like these dudes are like beefing.
And Creed 2 ends with a good sparring match.
Yeah, it's my fault. It's my fault. I interpreted it wrong. They're saying,
you're hating on this episode name. Last week we had to talk all episode trying to figure out when someone said, watch your neck. Protect your neck. And on rewatch, I did notice it. It was a very quick blurb right before the fight started. Someone said, protect your neck. And then the fight involved little to no grappling.
Yes, was bizarre. Always a cool line.
I think this is the worst thing.
And there was no Wu-Tang reference in the episode.
No Wu-Tang reference. No Wu-Tang cameo. Ghostface didn't pop up. We couldn't even get like Raekwon. Capadonna, I would have settled for, and we didn't get that. So that was a little, I know. If he had shown up, I would have been like, justified episode title.
Not just business.
But yeah, you're right.
I'm going to start saying this in regular rotations.
Please do. Not just business. And people would be so confused. They're like, what is going on with Casey? What's wrong with him? He's going through some things.
Hey, protect your neck.
Yes, there was the trauma early on about, well, again, there's all these Team Chandler guys. How can they all stay training with Team Chandler?
That line was never said in the episode, right?
I don't know. Listen, I only know about the protect your neck thing from the comments.
Chance that we go back and watch this episode again and it's like just thrown in there, just like a throwaway line, and they're like, that's what we're going to name the episode. But from the start, AK, unfortunately, you were not here last week for us to break it down. But last week, me, Mike Heck, and Casey made our predictions for what we thought the matchups were going to be. Mm-hmm. And who we thought was going to be placed on which team. We said Rico versus Gibson, Katona versus Valiv, and it was going to be Rico and Katona on Team McGregor. And then Halaba Knight and Hubbard Roberts and Halaba and Hubbard on Team McGregor. We were correct in all those, except for Halaba and Hubbard denied going to Team McGregor.
Yeah, this was a classic setting up two things. They set up drama and immediately diffused it, because you're right, last episode you guys correctly pointed out it, like, oh cool, like they're gonna reveal the matchups. I'm like, oh wait, they already revealed that Roosevelt and Austin are fighting, which means the other lightweight matchup was set up. And then this one starts with right away just saying what the matchups are, and then setting up the premise of, oh my gosh, are three Chandler guys going to have to go over to McGregor? And then they're just like, no, we just don't want to. Like, and they're like, okay, cool. Yeah, you don't have to. It's like, wait, what?
And why? And then they had to train together before fighting together, which, I mean, when we got to the fight, it seemed like it had an effect on it. I mean, it seemed like Roosevelt Roberts and Austin Hubbard had developed a pretty good friendship over the course of the season. And like, it's hard to not believe that came into play in the octagon.
I think it's actually two things. I think it's that and the fact that, I think Chandler pointed this out, because of the training situation for the last, I don't know, how long do you think they've been in the house at this point? A month?
I think Chandler mentioned 4 weeks.
Four weeks. These guys have, their family's not around. They're bored. They're talking to each other a lot. But more importantly, they're training with each other, which means they know each other. You know, they know their strengths. They know their weaknesses. 100%. And I don't want to bring myself into this, but like when I had my fight, I literally fought a training partner, and a guy I had sparred with probably about, I don't know, 7-8 rounds. We drilled together and stuff. And I will say during the fight, it was even the build up to the fight, it was odd to kind of go, all right, I have to kill this guy, you know, figuratively kill this guy. And I really had to kind of fake myself into saying it. And I felt, especially Roberts, I think Roberts was, at least in his interviews, he was more open about it. He was just saying, man, like, it was weird. I couldn't, like, coming into the house, I was like, I'm gonna win this. But then it turns out I'm a human with emotions. And that kind of, for that type of drama, that was actually bad for entertainment, because he actually did make it personal and not just business. And
wow. Like,
there it is. That was that was a beautiful breakdown of it.
Okay. I have a feeling he said it and it just ended up at the cutting room floor, because it did seem, you're right, it does jive with the pre-fight Roberts interviews, because his whole deal was, yes, I thought this was going to be all just business, but I made friendships, particularly me and Austin. Austin and I were training together from day one. Mm-hmm. We get along really well. And it led to one of the most awkward fights I've ever seen. Not just because we've seen fights kind of, again, between friends, even between people who don't like each other, devolve into kind of like aimless sparring sessions. We've seen this before. But one second, guys. Sorry, I don't know if you can hear that, but there's a little bit of background noise. We've seen this before, but this had the added awkwardness of the coaches rightfully saying, well, we're not going to corner either guy. You know, these are the guys you've been working with, and it's going to be super quiet. And I was like, you know,
it was not super quiet. It was
silent. It was silent, dude. We were essentially like watching a basketball yeah. practice. We were watching a basketball practice, but instead of the squeaks of the sneakers on the floor, it was their feet on the mat. The canvas, like, it was just
yeah.
like,
yeah,
it was like, yeah. I like,
that's all I heard.
Watching a fight just like that and it not being like a banger of a fight was like, oh, it was so odd. It was so odd. And of course we go the full 15 minutes and like, I don't know how you guys scored it, but I was like, I guess Roosevelt Roberts rounds 1 and 3, and he's going to win.
I had it for Roberts, actually. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I had there, Roberts. Yeah. But, like, dude, you want to talk confidence-wise in that? Like, I had next to none. I was honestly a little surprised. What was the plan at the end when they were like, stay ready? Like, were they going to potentially go 5 rounds?
No. You would go, I guess.
A 10-8 or 10-10.
Yeah, if 10-8 or 10-10, it's going to happen. But no, I don't think any of those.
But a 10-10, yes. I got a 10-8, yeah. yeah.
I mean, I don't think any of those rounds were 10-8. I don't think any of those rounds were a 10-10. It was just inconclusive, though. I think they're just in their mind, they were like, it feels like this needs an extra round. But again,
McGregor said it. Mm-hmm. McGregor said it perfectly. He was like, I don't think anyone lost, but like, I don't really think anyone won either.
Thank God he started chiming in, because that at least broke the monotony somewhat. The only run you could hear, who was the referee? Was it Mark Smith?
Oh my gosh. Fingers.
Hey,
that's all we got.
How?
The fingers.
That was the biggest drama during the fight.
Okay, dude. And then we also got a nut shot in the middle of it. The nut shot happened, I was like, this is, man. Like, we're sitting here watching a recorded fight that's going to end in a split decision with no commentary, no fans, no coaching, nothing.
That is the number one thing here. This is a recorded fight. They have no reason. They don't have to show this fight in sequence. They don't have to show the entirety of this fight. If they know this is not live television. It's not like, oh, we were caught off guard by how, like, someone watched this back. Someone watched this 15 minute, yes. 20 minute segment, whatever it was. I assume there's commercial breaks. Someone watched this and said,
no.
This is okay to air.
AK, not only did they watch it, but then when Dana was breaking the fight down, they made a whiff highlight reel from the first round. It was literally like a highlight tape of like 7 whiffs that they had. Like, it was, it was like after the first round, I was, and also I had to do it. You know, you check the time, you know that this is going to go 3 rounds if there's no finish, regardless of the score. I look at, you know, we're halfway through the episode when it started. And so you're pretty much like, all right, this is going to go the full 15 minutes. Like, I hope it's a good fight. Like, probably like halfway through the fight, I was like, oh God, like this is just going to go to a decision. And like, the fact that it's a split decision was such a beautiful cherry on top.
We have said that there's probably not a lot of drama going on in the house. So I don't know if they can reformat the show and sort of like, again, when they have a fight like this, do a montage style. Again, there's nothing. It's crazy. A lot of the stuff we talked about in episode 1 kind of came to fruition in this episode of Tough Hangers, say. kind of came to fruition here. A lot of the, like, our criticisms and kind of fears, it kind of played out perfectly, because there was that old boxing show, The Contender, Sylvester Stallone's The Contender reality show. And when they went to a fight, they would sometimes just montage it. They would just montage it. It was so much more exciting. It was so cool. They would show different angles. They show slow motion. And it was like, oh, this is like a kind of a compelling way to watch a boxing match where you don't know who the boxers are. And again, maybe the fight wasn't the most like thrilling. I can't remember how many rounds they fought in the show. I wish The Ultimate Fighter would start doing that. And again, Ultimate Fighter used to do a sign when they used to do fights to get into the house. Anyway, but they don't do it anymore. This would have been the perfect time for it. You overlay it with the commentary from Dana White, with the coaches, kind of talking about how it's a sparring match. And just, you know, you can still kind of poke fun at it, but at least you can do it in a more quicker TV-friendly way, because
maybe embed a little music track underneath,
I do not trust their music choices. Every single episode, I was like, what the hell is this music they're playing? Like... So it's always like, warrior, ooh, eat it. Ooh, ooh.
Can you? It's just bad. That's really good. Thank you. Can you imagine someone casually to this is on ESPN, right?
Yes.
I'm in Canada. Yes. I'm in Canada. We don't have ESPN. Can you imagine someone casually tuning in to this and just in the middle of that fight and being like, what the hell is going on? Like, is my audio busted? Like, did they lose an audio track? Yeah. Is it me? Is it on their end? Did they forget an audio track? Or, like, this is so uncomfortable. And like, you occasionally hear Conor McGregor chime in. So you're like, oh, okay, I'm not crazy. Like, there is something happening.
But if you're trying to get your friend into MMA, don't just not show them this. Act like this doesn't exist and just wait till Saturday and show them the main card of 291. That's what you need to do to get your friend into MMA.
This was rough. I cannot emphasize just how bad television a piece of television program this was.
Not just did they go through and they were like, all right, yeah, let's air it. Like, could you imagine like producing this episode?
Oh,
like it's just like, man, we're going the last half hour a dead silent fight for 15 minutes that's going to end in a split decision.
How can they do this? How can they get away with this is my question. Ultimate Fighter.
No, because I mean, it's what was provided by the fighters. They gave a 15 minute split decision and they have to edit around that.
You guys are both in the production business. You know that you can make chicken salad out of chicken poop. I mean, that's a classic Hollywood adage, isn't it, guys?
If I was a producer behind the scenes, I would have pushed very hard for what you said. The montage, Dana White cuts in, McGregor cuts in, Chandler cuts in. You show him nervous in between each round. You show the guys dabbing the sweat and being like, I think you lost that round. You know, you're going to need to take this one. And then winner by split decision, Austin Hubbard. And then, but also at the same time, what else would they have used to fill?
That's the thing.
We already got it. We got our Forge Irish Stout Stew commercial.
Yes. Yeah, let's go. Connor, get into that. GC, can you explain? Can you get into that? Get into this advertising? And we are now advertising it. So let's get it.
Listen, of course we're advertising it. I have it right over my shoulder here.
Always.
It's a fantastic stout. Forged Irish over Guinness. Everybody knows that. But yeah, McGregor showed up at the house. I was like, oh, this is sick. Nice. Like, I hope we get to see both coaches show up. We still haven't seen Chandler show up at the house. McGregor showed up. Sick shirt, summer vibes, though despite it, this is probably like February or March in Las Vegas when they were shooting this. Regardless, he was preparing. He knew the summer vibes. Shows up. He's going to be making them an Irish dish. Shows up an Irish stew, the meat, the potatoes, everything. But you can't forget the most important ingredient, the Forged Irish Stout. Get some cans in there. Get it going. Make it beautiful. And every time you say the stew is ready, you have to say the Forged Irish Stout Stew. And then they eat it in front of the fighters that are cutting weight.
Seem
to enjoy that. And it felt like product placement for Forged Irish Stout.
In a very just unprofessional way, honestly, for fighters. Uh-huh. Just like Connor's like, dude, you're making this meal that these guys are—they're chasing their dream. They're like, I'm gonna shoot a commercial for my stout right now in front of you. It was just, and like, it just felt weird. And all the losing fighters are like, hey, it's pretty good. why like Roberts and like Jason Knight are just like they were so annoyed.
Now Jason Knight did try it.
Maybe he did try. I know, yeah, like some of them were. Yeah,
he said there was too much beer in it.
Yeah, you said it was an you said it was an endorsement. It was not a stirring endorsement. Again, this is a show that they could have chosen anybody's comments.
Oh yeah, right.
And one of them they had to because was Jason Knight kind of going like, yeah, I tasted a bit funny because you bite into it and you taste a lot of beer right away. And I'm like, yeah, he put like 6 cans in there. I'm like, I'm not a stew making expert, but I imagine you put 6 cans of powerful Irish stout into a stew, you're going to taste that right away. So that was a weird thing to put in. It was funny because Jason Knight rules. But a weird, if I was, again, I'm one thing I'm amazed about the show is I feel like Team McGregor, like, you know, when you have a star like Conor McGregor on the show, I always imagine he's going to ask for like Final Cut or something. Then I realize like he doesn't have the attention span or like the time to deal with that. So he probably just assumed, oh, it'll be a great advertisement and nothing will go wrong. It was also you're right. It looked so sad. He kind of had like the stew. He kind of took a bit of the stew with like a bowl of the stew and was kind of going around like saying, hey, guys, try this. And you're right. Some of the guys probably couldn't eat it because they were still had to fight. But like, what a weird, bizarre scene. I'm trying to imagine another, like, listen, Conor McGregor is somehow one of the most famous athletes in the world still. Again, I don't, you know, you may want to put him on a tier below like the LeBron James is, certainly some of the bigger football stars in the world. Like he's nowhere near that level. But he's like as famous as like, I don't know, Kevin Durant. Is that crazy? If I said he's as famous as Kevin Durant, GC, is that crazy? Is that a crazy?
He might be more famous than him.
He might be more famous. James Harden. I don't. Yeah, internationally, for sure.
Yes, imagine he's incredibly famous, dude.
Imagine Kevin Durant or James Harden or someone. I have to go basketball references here. Like in a similar segment where they're hawking some product, talking around with a couple of bulls. Like, yeah, hey, try this. It was so. Only in MMA.
I have to say, I did see James Harden on his Instagram story, like posted a product placement for like 4 free burgers inside a club this past weekend. So it's actually funny you say that. Here's the only thing. Like, it feels like this is we're just kind of shitting on the episode this week, but like,
no, we are,
like
which we are, which we are.
Yeah. Yes. But the first time McGregor went to the house, there was a little bit of like product placement for the Proper 12 whiskey, but that was fine. He was taking shots and he got to talk to the guys and he got the haircut and like a little bit of story, like with the baseball tournament and everything like that. It felt like he was actually connecting with the athletes. Next time he comes, it's the McGregor Fast product placement. Mm-hmm. We're going to do the rowing thing. At least it was like a competition and like, it was a step down from the whiskey. This was just like walks in. What's up, lads? How we doing? Where's the chef? Let's dump some Proper 12 or let's dump some Forged Irish Stout in this and let's get out of here. Like it was like, it's like each trip he's made to the house for like a product placement has declined each time. And how have we not seen Chandler at the house yet? We're 9 episodes in.
I don't know. No Chandler at the house. No McGregor talks, at the weigh-ins. Like,
he talks incessantly about how much he loves his team and how much he cares about these guys, but we haven't seen him once. And honestly, it's not like Chandler doesn't have his own products. He's got his own like healthy peanut butter and jelly sandwich. If you go on his Instagram, he's sponsored out, man.
Hey, maybe someone does that Final Cut, and maybe those parts get edited out.
Just, wow.
We don't want to see it now. I think that's still to come. I think there'll be a big maybe if both of his guys make the finals or something, maybe he'll not just say both his guys,
but Michael Chandler's watching this right now. He's like, I show up for the freaking practices. What are you talking about?
I'm at the weigh-in.
I actually do the part that I'm actually doing the coaching part, not the hanging out making stew part. Sorry, yeah. Connor.
I'm at least there when they weigh in. It's slim pickings at the house. You see how excited they were when they came home from the fight. I don't know why. Just to go back to the beginning of the episode, I don't know why I expected something cool when they walked in and they were like, "Ooh!" Like the fighters walked in and they're like, "Oh wow, well cool." And I'm like, "Oh wow, did they surprise them with something?" And I'm like, "Oh, it's just a crappy looking bracket." Like,
no. What they surprised them with, Dana White was just like, "Now that we've made it to the semifinals, I wanted to surprise the winning finalists from the quarterfinals." And I was like, "Oh, what is he about to do?" And he's like, "With a phone call home on the laptop."
Oh, okay.
limited to 10 minutes. And I was just like,
that's an annual. Yeah,
that was very like Stockholm syndrome. Like, yeah. Oh, thank you for letting us talk to our family.
GC, that is an annual tradition. So
it's nice.
I should have warned you.
Oh, they normally do that. That's normal.
It's nice that they get to talk to them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. They don't have any technology and everything like that. It's nice that they get to talk to him, but like now that will be like a part of each episode, like just to fill some time of like, hey, yeah. How's everything going? Good, nice. All right. So like I was hoping for like a real surprise.
Talk about changes, maybe positive changes to the show. Instead of doing this call the family thing, you know, there's no, you already know ahead of time, there's going to be no coaching. You know, it's going to be crazy, super awkwardly quiet in there. Fly in the families.
Whoa.
Fly in the families of each side.
Whoa. I like that.
So it's only them like yelling that. And cheering. Think I mean, how much like, that what? Changes the episode. Think how much that changes the episode. Seriously.
We can trust Max Crosby to be there, but we can't trust the families. I like this idea from you, Casey.
So I'm just.
Whoa. I didn't know where you're going with that. I'm like, okay. But I mean, imagine though, Roosevelt Roberts is. Kids there crying at a split decision. Is that what you want, Casey? Is that the kind of TV you want?
Yes, that's what we want. We won't cry. We want tears. We want happy tears. We want sad tears. Because they're going to cry when they get home. You know, I mean, they're going to cry when they find out or whatever. You know, but that's what the show is. We're putting we want to know these people. We're seeing their families. We're like, we miss you, Dad. We miss you. You're going to go and you're going to win. You know, I want to see Roosevelt Roberts. Talk to his family, talk to his kids after he loses a close fight. You know, it will.
And what's Hubbard's family going to do too, dude? Did like his wife when he was like, I made the semifinals, she was elated. She was like, oh, I knew it. Yeah, like what on the opposite end, what are they going to do when he wins the split decision? Like they're going to go crazy.
Yeah,
I like this idea, Casey.
I don't know. It's like,
and it would make for some sort of audio fill. Like,
that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, if it's just for the audio fill or just. And they can do it where have the family sign, you know, NDAs or whatever. Do the live feed too, where they're watching a live feed of the fight. So you know, if you don't even want to pay for the tickets, they're watching at home. You know, I don't know. It's just like there was something that couldn't have been done, and they didn't do it. The UFC just went, nah, just put it out there. We got our stew segment in there. We're good.
You just summed up the last 12 seasons of The Ultimate Fighter. There's something they could do, but they're just not doing it.
How about Roosevelt Roberts? We got our first weigh-in drama. On the fight, we get our first third round. We also get our first weigh-in drama. Yeah. Has to cut the hair.
Quarter pound.
Who was the man who had to do it? Lando?
Mando. He was
Mando.
Like,
Mando,
he called
Mando.
Him immediately too. It was very confusing. I'm like, oh, I guess Mando's the haircut guy because he was like, Mando.
Well, yeah.
Come on, Mando.
No, he cut like, McGregor's right. hair earlier, dude. Do you not remember the whole breakdown?
Oh,
barbershop with the dog.
Man. I've been on vacation too long. Yeah, this is true. He's the haircut. Every season has a haircut.
That was foreshadowing. See, yeah.
Back in season two, Rashad Evans was the haircut guy. Future UFC champion, Rashad Evans was a haircut guy once upon a time. So Mando, that may bode well for you. But yes, he he said, and then he said, Roosevelt Roberts said, all my Jamaicans, I'm sorry, I had to do it, which I thought was funny. So he does make it on the second try. I was amazed that they even bothered because that's Jeff Mullen, I think. I think the guy who usually does the Vegas weigh-ins. He's the most lax cat. Like people who watch official Vegas weigh-ins, he very often does someone steps to the scale. He kind of looks at it. The scale's like still shaking. And then he just goes like, bang it home.
155.
There to go.
Boom, he hits it. For no reason.
For this show, we're going to quibble over that quarter pound and we're going to make Roosevelt Roberts cut his hair. Like,
I noticed because Jeff Mullen always does. And they do that so they don't have to have any accountability. Because once you hit the scale, it's like, well, I can't go back to it. I can't reset it.
Yeah. What do you want me to do?
Maybe it was last week or this week. It might have been last week. I didn't mention it. So only two people are weighing in. They're both weighing in the same weight. The first guy weighs in. He announces the weight, but has announced his weight. He hits the scale and resets it for no reason because it's already set. It can be set for the next person. So he has to redo it again. So I was like, what are you doing, man?
Go ahead, GC.
Next week looks like we get Islam coaching session, and like,
yes.
I'm gonna tamp my expectations. I think this is gonna be Wonderboy-esque. We may have already seen the entire segment. I think it's just gonna be Islam pulling up and like, they're coaching you good, like then like a quick little blurb where he's just like, Timur deserves to be a champ. He deserves to be in the UFC. He's very good and he's very disciplined, so he should do it, and then he'll be out. But this is a little this is a little detailed stuff. This is a little dedication that I put in slowed down, went super slow motion at the very end when they're showing the highlights for next week. Timur and Katona, pretty bloody. Looks like they're going to get into a war. Looks like we're going to get an exciting fight.
I think you're right. Yeah, I'm optimistic about it. I think Hubbard and Roberts, like even from just like a stylistic standpoint, was a bit strange. And then you add that they're on the same team. I guess Brad and Timur, they're both Chandler guys. But again, to sort of go back to the what was the, one of the supposed dramas of this episode that was very quickly diffused by Katona, because we all knew this was going to happen. We all knew. I think once you saw that Chandler's team was dominating, we're like, okay, well, obviously there's going to be some drama, you know, revolving around can they still train together if it's an all Chandler semifinals. And then you just kind of go like, oh wait, Katona's whole deal is that he's a Conor McGregor guy, he's a John Kavanaugh guy, he really named his nutritionist Tristan or whatever. So it just made so much sense for him to go over. And I wish we could have gotten the reactions from the other fighters, kind of follow up on the drama we never got the first time it was brought up. But I have a feeling they just didn't care. I have a feeling
wish we could have gotten McGregor's reaction.
Yes.
Being like, yeah, only Brad wanted to come, dude.
Yeah. I think we'll see it next episode, I guess. I guess we'll see some of that. We saw like a hug. He puts on the blue. He puts on the GC blue. You know, you and Katona are on the same team now, so that's going to be fun. So that was somewhat compelling to watch. But again,
happy to have him.
Yeah, he's a great fighter. He's a great fighter. Probably one of the favorites to win the show.
I'm confident one of Katona or Rico is going to win. I think one of them will be in the final.
Oh, you're all in. Okay, that's right. You have to be all in on the Rico trade now. Again, he put Team Blue on the board. Right. You have to. Yes, that was.
Let's get him in Boston. 292, tough finale. Let's get him in Boston. The Boston guy.
The white hot 36-year-old prospect, Rico DiCiullo. Age is nothing but a number. That's complex stuff. But yeah, next week, it's Katona versus Valib. And yes, we get that little Islam cameo. So hopefully something to look forward to. But because, yeah, this was the toughest hang we've had so far. I had some stray questions here and there. The first one was, I should have mentioned this when we were talking about the reward, the call home. Who would you guys call if you're in the house? Who's your call? GC, who's your call? You got one call. I wonder if there's a pre-approved list. I assume they're just like, you know, you're going to call your family or a friend and that's about it. I don't think you could spontaneously just throw a name out there. But if you could, GC, if you could, who would it be?
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over. Age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
I mean, is this like a fantasy phone call, or this is just like real life? Who would I call?
You can call. You're in the same. No, this person has to be alive. I'm gonna say someone you know. I'm gonna say you can't randomly say, "Oh, I wanna talk to Margot Robbie or something." Like, no, that's not. That's not a thing.
Oh, then it has to be someone you. I'm just calling my girlfriend. 100%. I'm just calling my girlfriend. Like, she's probably like the only one that I'll really care that much. Like my parents, if I went and did this, they would just kind of want to hear the news after everything was said and done. I mean, a no brainer. Like if I called one of my friends, they'd be like, why are you spending your phone call on this? Fantasy though. Yeah. Margot Robbie's not a bad shout. Just saw Barbie a couple days ago.
I heard it was good. I didn't get.
I've never seen it. No spoilers. I'm going to watch it soon.
No spoilers.
Can't wait to see it.
I'm watching Oppenheimer on Thursday. Casey?
Oppenheimer, Jesus.
Oppenheimer.
Casey, who are you calling?
Oh, the GOAT, Esther Lynn. That's easy.
She'd be, I mean.
It's a no-brainer.
I might.
Who are you calling? I might, Mike?
Yeah, I might call Esther, if I'm being honest. That, Casey, would that be okay if I called Esther?
Yeah. It'd be awkward, but like,
Esther
right,
rules. She knows fighting. No, my girlfriend, GC is the opposite. My girlfriend could not care less about MMA. Obviously, she'd be concerned about how I was doing on the show, but she hates, and she only puts up with it because of me. God bless her. So I mean, that's the obvious call to make, but that's kind of boring. I'm like, yeah, everyone's calling their wife, significant other, whatever. That's a bit boring. I'd call my parents or something. I think it'd be fun to call my parents. Just so I could have the sweetest couple in the world on national television. That would be hilarious to me. My mother's an old.
Back to your girlfriend.
Yes, go ahead.
I interrupted.
Please, it's fine. I'll continue. No, I was going to say my mother's an old Chinese Peruvian woman. It would just blow people's minds to see. She's the sweetest woman in the world. My father's a hardcore Hong Kong man, and he'd be giving some. He'd be dishing out some hard wisdom to motivate me. So I think that'd be hilarious.
Amazing.
For the show. I mean,
amazing.
So, with apologies to my girlfriend, I just call my parents because it'd just be so funny.
Wow.
I would make sure
your girlfriend,
my dogs on camera too. But ooh, bringing the dogs on the show, I don't know.
No, don't. That was my fear. I thought one of these guys was going to bring out their dog. Oh, bring out Shiloh. Bring out Shiloh for the show. I'm like, no. Anyway, so no dogs.
He misses you so much. Your sorry, girlfriend, GC, though, does she hate MMA like as a sport, or does she like, is she just kind of squeamish about how violent it is?
She just finds it really boring, I think. She definitely does not enjoy violence for the sake of violence, even when I go like, but no, it's okay, they're getting paid for it, that like somehow doesn't make it better. So she doesn't love, she'll sit down with me, she might watch a fight or two, but the interest isn't there. It, you know, I think like most normal human beings, she's not going to sit down and watch 6 or 7 hours of a UFC event. She might have a 45 minute tolerance at best. Assisted.
Get a camera and I want live reactions of her watching this fight from this episode. Like, this is a fight.
Oh my God.
It'll just be her watching for 30 seconds and then pulling out her phone and then saying, oh my God, this TikTok is so hilarious. You have to watch this.
That's a normal person right there.
That's a normal human being. Yeah, think, that's yeah, a normal that's, human being.
Yeah. Yes. I don't care. Here's the craziest part. There are going to be people that like, defend this fight that are like,
no,
you just don't actually enjoy martial arts.
No,
you
GC, have you been on Twitter?
Have you been on Twitter? They will defend anything. They will. I swear to God,
not this show.
They're going to be people. You guys are just haters on The Ultimate Fighter. You don't have to watch. You know that, right? Like, you just don't enjoy mixed martial arts. You're not a true fan. There will be defenders of this episode.
I will say about this fight. This fight was not a bad martial arts fight. It was just not entertaining. There is a big difference.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
It was not an entertaining fight. Yeah, I'm watching a reality show to be entertained. Yeah, and that's the issue here. This is a reality show for entertainment. This isn't even a sporting event because these are exhibitions. So in that sense, this is only for entertainment. These aren't real fights. Take in mind.
What would this be the equivalent of on like The Bachelor? Like watching a 17 minute date where it's just like clinking glasses and like them cutting a steak and like and like every four or five minutes there's just like a
right
steak's pretty good steak's all right yeah oh yeah the wine's not bad either yeah
uh-huh. there'd be at least one like oh, did you say something? Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. And then what's the nut shot equivalent? Someone like starts choking on their water. It's like,
hold on. Are you okay?
It's like extra awkward. Yeah. You all right?
That would never air. That's a perfect example because that would never air.
You're right.
Major network. Okay. We're talking about ESPN.
ABC would fire the producer on the spot. Yeah. They would be like, you're fired.
If any competition type of reality show. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, I couldn't imagine this air in full.
Survivor, it's some guy like trying to start a fire for 15 minutes straight, and like at the end, he like gets like a small flame going, but not enough to like cook anything.
Yeah, this is the beauty of television: is you can make it whatever you want.
Recorded television.
With respect to, again, to the production team, maybe there just has been a lot to work with this season. I understand everyone's professional. Maybe it's just awkward silences in the house too, right? Maybe they're not having a lot of conversations. I totally get it. But there had to be
just
better than
throw them. Like just the producers. You know what you do then if it's boring in the house? Just throw let a raccoon in the house and just go.
just open a bottle of Proper 12 and be like, you guys have to finish this before the episode.
You have to.
You're right, though. That is the job. We talk about reality TV. People talk, you know, listen, Survivor, the classic reality TV show. The tribal councils, those have been compelling for whatever, what, however, 40 seasons. And the what they said early on, like, you know, those tribal councils go on for like 90 minutes. Like, they're so long. And it is Jeff Probst's job. This is why he's the best of business. It's his job to poke and prod and stir the pot and make drama. And then from that 90 minutes or however long the tribal council goes, they get that, you know, solid 10 minutes or however much you see on the show. That's how it has to be done. And you're right. Sometimes you got to throw a raccoon in the mix, Casey. And I want to bring up a comment you threw up from the YouTubes. This is while I was on vacation, but I was checking the Slack. This made me laugh so much. I think this is from episode 7. I want to say it's from episode 7. I can't even read this person's name. It's a random collection of letters. But they said, it's from the YouTube comments. You guys don't have to react to the show that no one is watching. Spend time with your families instead.
No, that was a fantastic comment because as funny as it is, it's also true. It is a true comment. That's what funny makes it so funny.
True.
No,
we do not have to be doing this.
We do have to be doing this. Someone has to be doing this. This is – I.
Someone is doing it. It doesn't have to be us.
It doesn't have to be us.
Three more episodes.
Yeah, three more. Yeah, three more. I guess they're not doing a two fights in one episode thing. I guess they're either just going to do semifinal, which is a bit strange. If this is how it normally goes, maybe I'm not remembering the most recent season. But
finale on 292, I don't think it's been confirmed yet, but that card only has 11 fights right now, so it would make sense.
Yeah, it made me sad last week when you guys were breaking down and saying like, yeah, these finale fights are probably not making it to the main card. I'm trying to think what they would have to bump down.
There is no probably. They are 10,000% not making it to the main card.
But
we actually are already wrong in our guesses. Here's our notes from last week. We did have Roosevelt Roberts winning, so we are wrong there. Got the teams right, but we're already 0-1 on predictions of who wins.
But very, very easily could have. Like, listen, he could have easily advanced from this fight. Neither guy, I don't think this is their best showing. Certainly, they're skilled fighters. We know that they can fight at a higher level than this. This is when you guys were mentioning the level thing, by the way, you're right. It's we're not criticizing Roberts or Hubbard's skill level. It's just the scenario wasn't conducive. Like, this was 10 times a more skillful fight than like Trevor Peak and like Chepe Mariscal, right? And that fight's going to be like a top 5 fight of the year candidate, but that was not a technically that fight was an atrocity. Like, that was so if I 100%. Am being insulted to them, I apologize. But Hubbard and Roberts, again, this was two professionals, and it was personal, not just Mrs.
Two professionals that were friends, and they were not fighting in front of a crowd or with coaches or with commentary.
No support. Because everything changes. Even if you have Chandler going like, you got to finish this, you know, blah, blah. It was just a couple of like Connor going, it's like, ooh, yeah, hit him.
Beautiful. Tough round to score.
Did Team McGregor also kind of like agree not to? Because I assume the Team McGregor fighters were there. They weren't allowed to hoot and holler. Did everyone just kind of say, listen, we're not going to say anything. We're just not going to support either fighter. I felt
like Team Chandler did the, well, they didn't want to cheer or whatever, you know, against their own
guy.
What
about Team McGregor?
Boo. Yeah, I don't know.
And then I think Team McGregor was just like, we're playing the party lines. We don't support anything Team Chandler. So then it just made for
this. Should have just been booing the whole time.
Yes, that would have been great. That would have been better. Anything would have been better. I mean,
stand them up.
It was kind of a nasty stew of silence. Not nasty, the delicious Forged Irish Stout stew that they had earlier in the episode.
Yeah, get that plug in there. I can't all the episode The Sound of Silence. I thought the Sound of Silence would have been the perfect name for it, and we would have right away been like, oh, this is why they called it. Well, that would have made us think like it was a scary knockout. Oh, there's a
No. If they named it the Sound of Silence, then like all would have been forgiven for this episode.
It just makes so much sense. But yeah, back to 292 for a second. I don't think any of us have a problem with this the finale's not being on the main card. If anything, it wouldn't make sense to put on pay-per-view because the prelims presumably will be on ESPN. The show's on ESPN. So if by some chance, you know, people are so invested that they really need to see the finale, it'll be on free TV as God intended. So no complaints there. I'm sad because it'd be cool if these guys got like a pay-per-view opportunity right away, but it doesn't make any sense to give them that.
None, dude. Look at the card. Yeah. You cannot put them on the main card.
Even on a weaker pay-per-view, I think you want to put these on ESPN, right? Like it's like this is not the kind of season. And this show in general just doesn't have the cachet anymore where you can say, oh, well, if you want to watch the final, you're going to have to pay $80 for it. Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck with that. Especially after this first semifinal. People wouldn't pay.
We're paying $80 to see the coaches fight. That's what we're paying $80 for.
Yeah, we're still waiting for that, by the way. Where are we guys on that? I know you asked New York Rick. I know you asked Mike. Where are we on the confidence?
Yeah, we'll see it December.
The Christmas tree? The Christmas tree? That was all it took.
Christmas tree emoji. Don't forget.
Ain't happening.
I am, Casey, I'm kind of leaning back towards it because everyone's right. And New York Rick brought this up again. Like, whatever happens with USADA, there's some exception that they can find. If they want Connor, if he wants to fight in December and Chandler wants to fight in December and the UFC wants to make this matchup in December, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. There's some minutia in the USADA rules that they can say, oh yeah. Oh, this, well, you know, we made an exception because of this. So,
but is this a fight you even want to see anymore?
Yes. I still want to see
it. When Conor McGregor turns, I have to see him fight Michael Chandler. That's the fight of all the fighters in the world. He needs to fight Michael Chandler. I just don't mean it's as cool as a fight, whatever.
It's not number one, but I'm still looking forward to it. I'm still looking forward to it.
At 85. It's going to be at 85, too.
I do hate how
I don't know. It feels like he's slimming down a little bit in the latest pictures.
I like all the training they've been showing with McGregor. I mean, that's what you want to see, right? This kind of surreal side of him training with these prospects, guys he wouldn't normally train with. I mean, some of them are Team McGregor guys. Again, we'll see what gets
going. There was no training of him this week. Him training
wasn't
this
there. Week, so. Oh, was I thinking of last week? I guess I was thinking of last
week. He was showing Rico the uppercut to the bag. Yeah,
people should know.
Yeah.
After I got back from Japan, I binged. That's right, I binged The Ultimate Fighter. I watched the past two episodes I missed while I was traveling, and then
queued
this one up.
What could be better?
What a way to come back, to North America. Yeah, what a way to come back. It was such a lovely homecoming because I got to just tough, just bang them out. It was my dream. It was so fantastic. So,
how'd you get the culture shock from being in Japan to watching?
Right.
Yeah, that's
I still want to see the fight. I'm a little bit like weirded out by how chummy they kind of have to be since the show. Like, I wish the shove had been some moment where like, oh, this changes things now. And then on the last episode, we just see them kind of sitting comfortably in the matchmaking meeting and chumming it up. Like, and I'm like, this is weird. I know they're fighters. I know they're pros. I know Chandler's not going to let something like any shove in the face bother him. But like, is there no tension whatsoever between them now?
There will be tension when they fight in December, I can assure you.
All right.
I do find that, because at first when they did the shove a few episodes back, I actually thought the shove made sense in the context of that episode. I think Connor just, his guy just got upset with the big upset. The guy that was expected to win.
Hunter Azure.
No. The shove
episode. Oh, so the one he was expected to win. Oh my goodness! The young man.
Yes, it was my guy. You know my guy.
Yeah, whatever his name was.
Right on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah. So the shove made sense at the time, but like, okay, to me though, like
Lee Hammond.
Yeah.
If someone like shoves me in the face like that, and we just, oh, okay, we're gonna fight 6 months from now. For those next 6 months, I don't want to be near that guy. And yes. Yeah, and then Chandler's just like, do. I like this fight. This fight's easy, and they're walking down the hall together, like do. They're like, whoa, you know. They don't got to fight right then, but like I don't understand why Chandler's like, I'm cool with this guy right now.
Like, I don't know. One day ago, here's old McGregor. Wow. Looks thin, man. He looks thin. Yeah, also, looks can, we talk about the, can we talk about the green screen looking pretty trippy on my phone here?
Okay.
It looks like a fake phone.
Why are you holding up your McGregor case? Your vinyl McGregor case.
That's what it looks like. Yeah, it looks good though, man. He's looking thin. He's ready for December.
It's your desktop. I like that.
One more random note I wanted to bring up. Well, I was going to, and now my brain has just frozen up from that incredible case shot. Any stray notes on your end, GC? We'll wrap up in a second. Any stray notes on your end regarding the episode?
I literally went through every single one of my notes.
there wasn't a lot to talk about.
I mean, dude, we talked about this for like almost an hour. I honestly can't believe we made it that far. I got everything out. Looking forward to next week. Timur Katona should be a great fight. And three episodes left.
I think the lesson to take away from this one too, and I wanted to emphasize this, is that friendship sucks. I don't have any friends. And you guys are my very positive, amicable work associates, but I have no friends. So I will never fall into this trap that Austin and Roosevelt fell into. So wow. For all you kids out there, all you kids who are tuning into The Ultimate Fighter and then Tough Hang every week.
God bless you. Go find a hobby and some friends.
I would just say in all the seasons of Tough or whatever, have you had a fighter come on and just say, oh, I love it in this house. I don't miss my family at all. This is great. My apartment sucks. My roommates suck. I'm totally okay with being away from my kids. I don't like my dog. This is awesome.
I think you've had guys who say they do love this is like almost like a vacation because it's like the food is provided, is literally just delivered every week, and you get to train. That's all you have to do is wear. Not necessarily at the expense of their family, but definitely there's people who've been focused more on the positives than the negatives. Oh, now I remember what I wanted to bring up. So the last thing I'll say is one big thing this season is missing. And with McGregor involved, I really feel like you could have had like one or two great opportunities for it because he's a mischievous fellow. That's probably putting it nicely. No pranks. No pranks. No coach pranks.
Pranks would make it funnier, man. Anything.
Connor has this beautiful car that he brought out last. What was it? A Ferrari? What was it last episode?
I think it was a Lambo.
It's like a Kia.
A Lambo.
Oh no, so, Lambo.
I don't know. Yeah, Lambo. Yeah. That he let Rico drive. If you're Team Chandler, you gotta be doing something to that Lambo. It may result in something very bad happening, but a lawsuit. I was going to say that's almost definitely a rental too.
They've messed with other coaches' cars before. I remember
all the time. Classic. That's a classic tough trick. You mess with a car.
Classic.
None of them were Lambos. I don't think everyone's ever rolled up with a Lambo.
Bash the windows in with a bat and dent the body of the car.
That's just GC. That's just a felony. That's not a prank. But that's one spicy thing. Now again. Given how much like McGregor doesn't even have time to show up at the weigh-ins, I highly doubt he's thinking of pranks for this reality show. But his team—that's what his team is there for. You tell me, Owen Roddy doesn't have some hilarious? Oh, this is a traditional prank back in Dublin that gets them every time or something. There's nothing. There's none of that. Did they tell the coaches not to do pranks?
All the pranks are replaced with commercials for Conor McGregor products, basically.
Yeah, that's what you got. They couldn't have had a proper 12 related prank. Oh, I filled his room up with proper 12. Something like, I don't know, something stupid like that. Like the coach's room is filled with proper 12. I don't.
Fill up the Lambo gas tank with proper 12 and $4 and see what happens.
There you go. There's your advertisement.
That wouldn't mess up the car.
I'm terrible at pranks.
Just a couple of whoopee cushions. Hey, Jason Knight sits down for his meal.
y'all got me. Jason Knight, if they did that to Jason Knight, he'd be laughing for like 8 minutes straight. Jason Knight would find that hilarious. So
you can do something with Jason Knight's vape. I've noticed Jason Knight vapes a decent amount on the show.
You're allowed to vape on the show. Why is that allowed?
Oh no, he's been holding an elf bar like three or four episodes.
Jason Knight's so cool. God, I hope he wins the show and just comes back to the UFC. Part of me doesn't want him to come back to the UFC, though. I like Jason Knight being a free bird. But, guys, I don't know how we talked about this. Again, I cannot say it's
true.
One of the worst episodes of television, not just Ultimate Fighter, one of the worst pieces of television I've seen in recent memory. It was so bad. If you guys, I know there's some people that say they only watch Tough Hang, probably like, I don't know, a dozen people.
Don't
do yourself a favor.
Tough.
No, go back and watch the episode. You got to feel how uncomfortable it was.
You need to watch these episodes so you can understand when you what good episodes are. Maybe I don't know. you have to hit rock bottom.
Yeah. We've set a new baseline. So thank you, guys. Thank you, GC Carnabrooks. Thank you, EKC Lyon. I've never been happier to be back to have people to watch and talk about the show with, because if this was one of the episodes I kind of had to watch myself and just not talk about it, I don't know if I might have extended my vacation another week, guys. I would have been like, I can't. This is a struggle.
I would have taken a sabbatical.
From a tough related sabbatical. But yes, I am your host, Alexander Kaylee. This has been another sensational episode of Tough Hang, not a sensational episode of Tough 31. And we will see you guys. What was the new catchphrase, GC? I'm sorry, you broke out the new catchphrase last week. What was it again?
I said it at the end of the episode.
I think so. Something like Tough Hang in there or something. What was it?
Dude, I can't remember. I don't know.
Oh, well. Tough Hang in there, guys. Until next week.
Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.